This is the start of the second and final tape of the November 3rd, 1986 interview with boatbuilder Bobby Shiver of East Point, Florida. The interviewer is David Taylor.
It all joins together when you get right down to it.
Yeah, yeah. We were talking a moment ago about some of the older builders that you recall. Does it seem like there are younger folks who are interested in learning how to build boats too?
Yeah, the most thing that gets the younger people, not so much, but my boy, he knows how to build a boat, you know, and he's learned this trade out here, and he built that little model you see over there when he was just 13 or 14 years old, and he knows how to do it, but he's not interested. It's too confining to young people right now. I believe that they are interested, and I believe they'll do it in the time to come, and I believe they'll carry on what's got to be. I believe my boy will. But I believe it's too slow of a pace for him. It ain't as much money in his seafood right now. He can make more than he can by a building trade. But it don't seem to be as many interested in it as what. Well, I guess it may be going on like it was. It ain't, as long as I remember, it's not been that many interested in building. They've been more interested in getting one built quick that they can get to doing what they want to do with it. They're interested in using it. But I hope that my boy will get an interest in it and carry on the boat building, and he'll continue on building the way that people want some built, but I don't know if he will or not. Now, Mr. Lawley, you take him. He only had one son. He knows nothing. He would not build a boat. He would not take one part. The rest of his youngins was girls. He had nobody left. Now, I guess I'm the only one that he could teach anything, you know. And like I say, I kind of got, the way I got into it with him was by going one of his daughters before I got married to my wife. And I was interested in boats.
Yeah.
And asked him a lot of questions about it. And he put in for me to try to get me. But I was young like my boy is, and I didn't have no time to sit there. And he was slow. And I was just too fast going by. Things were going by me too fast for me to.
Sure.
I only got what I got from Mr. Lawley after in 71, like I say, when I got saved, the Lord changed my life. I began to see that there was a necessity there. There was something that had got in my mind that he had planted there, that there was something that was interesting to me. And it's the only thing that has ever, in the occupational line, that has ever satisfied me. The rest of it, a few years of it, and I was discouraged. I couldn't get along with the people. Didn't like what was going on. I'd get on and grouchy, you know, but since I've got this, I'm plumb pleased with it. Tickled to death on it. People, the Lord sent me great customers. He don't send me nobody's bad. If he sends them bad, I recognize it time they come up. They'll reveal themselves to me. If they come here cussing, raising sand, talking bad language, using God's name in vain, I tell them I don't want your job. Now that might be hard, might seem like it's cruel, but to me, I ain't put up with it. He didn't put me in here to put up with it. He gave me the gift, send me the best customers, I'll do the best job I can for him. And we'll continue that till he stops it. He says, don't build boats no more, I'll stop. He says, pastor of the church, don't build boats, I'll do it. So that's the way it goes. But far as the tradition of it, I'll tell anybody anything about it. I will. I'll tell them anything I know. I don't care. If they want to build them, fine. I'll praise the Lord for it. That they're willing to get out and try to create something to help somebody else, because that's what it's for.
Sure.
I don't like to see people abused with things. I mean, I could, if I went the way I did with these boats, Mr. Lawley and Charles, they built these boats. Whatever the material run, they charged that for the labor. I did the same thing up until the last few years, until the material is going so high, like I'm saying with this boat. If I stayed with the tradition on this, some traditions I don't like, this boat would be around $2,200. But I didn't. I cut my wages. I can't cut the price of the material because they won't cut it. But I can cut the price of my labor to help somebody a little.
Right.
And still maintain a good living to take care of my family. And like I say, I love some traditions. Mm-hmm. I want to see it keep going. Change vary, but tradition might need a little change
mm-hmm.
to keep from just saying, hey, this, because you will find yourself sitting on the wayside with your tradition not doing nothing.
That's right.
And I see that, and I know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I got to beware of that. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible says in Colossians 3 to beware of the philosophy of man, the traditions, or the rudiments of the world. Because if we get so based on that, that's what happened to the Pharisees, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't change when Jesus come along to change them. They wanted to go with old Moses, the old Mosaic law, and God said, change it. I got to be careful. I don't preach to you a little bit. So, but I can't help that. All this goes together.
I understand that. Yeah, I understand that.
Yep. And so traditions change.
Mm-hmm.
Philosophies, they change.
Mm-hmm.
Men has to change with the times. As long as it don't carry him away too far.
Mm-hmm.
I like to go and look at historical things. I just talked to one of the ladies of the church yesterday who drove the school bus for the historical sites in Apalachicola.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been driving about 6 years now. And she was telling me, so I asked her yesterday, I said, what's some of the sites, some of the historic things that Mr. Cook tells about? And she said, I can tell you every one of them. I've listened to them for 6 years. Some of the old homes, the Butterfield home, the Widder's Peaks on the homes, down through by the old cemetery, the Confederate soldiers and some of the Union soldiers or whatever you call them, the rebels, all of these things. You know, we like to go back and look at these things. I love to go into North Carolina and look at these things, the old Vance's birthplace, and traditions are carried on mostly now through sites and
mm-hmm.
a lot of things. But what we're doing today will be a tradition, be a site some of these days, the people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're doing.
Sure enough.
To try to hold it so people can go back when they don't understand some of the things, how they...
Right. I'm trying to look at it through your experiences.
I like to be a part of it. If I didn't know, I'd say, hey, get going. I don't have nothing to do with it. But I love to know about what's happened in years before.
Mm-hmm.
I know what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to worry about that. I mm-hmm. got the facts on that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, getting the facts on what's already happened is hard sometimes. Mm-hmm. So somebody's got to come along and get the facts, reserve them things, preserve them for later days for these younger people
mm-hmm.
to come along to understand that this thing didn't come by just laid out there to them.
Yeah.
Hard work and sweat.
Yeah. Well, I know when I was growing up in my town, too, you used to everything and everyone, and, well, this is just the way it is. And sometimes it takes time to pass before you look back and realize that, well, that was different, and that's important, and that's distinctive about this place. And probably with kids that live around here, well, that's just Mr. Shiver building his boat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a boat is, because they haven't traveled around and seen other places and needs that people have for the transportation on the water.
Yeah, I got a three a lot of going to Newport Richey, and them people over there building them sponge boats out of them little strips.
Mm-hmm.
But see, back when I seen that, I wouldn't have took time to do that. I wanted to go fast.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to build them fast. Mr. Lawley, I said, Mr. Lawley, how in the world am I ever going to get that boat looking like that? He said, whenever you get more thought on what you're doing, get more pride and want it to look that way, slow down some.
Mm-hmm.
Before you cut something, make sure before you rip it off, because you use that old skill saw and you in a hurry, which I still do use a skill saw. I've just learned how to use the thing,
mm-hmm.
just like he learned how to use that handsaw.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was going to change him from that. That old man died and with the knowledge that he had. Oh yeah, I want to mention one other man.
Yeah.
Mr. Allie Smith, I mentioned him to you the other day. Has built, I don't know how many of the big boats. He built two for Mr. Griner. He built one over here for some people out of Georgia. The last one he built was called the Sue Ann, which it stays at the dock over there at about around Levin somewhere. It's from Panama City. And I watched him build that boat, wishing I could do it, and hadn't built any commercially yet. But I watched him down here by the bayfront down there, but Bell Buchanan, I'd go down and look at it and climb all up in it, wishing I could do that thing, not knowing I could, just hoping that I could, wishing someday that I might be able to, and wondering, Heine, what is he doing? How does he know how to cut these timber? And it's simple now. It's so simple that it you tell somebody and you can't make them understand it. But it's simple. It's so simple that it's like going out and, to me, sticking them oyster tongs down in the water. Now, that looks simple, but it's not. There is a technique to that. To know how to work them tongs and to lift them without gathering all the old mud junk and to come up and to know what you're feeling of down there, to know that it's oysters you're bringing up instead of shelled. And it's the same way we cut the timber of this boat. Me sitting there looking at that man, him walking around like it wasn't nothing, like Bud Seymour, like it wasn't nothing, like Pete Polaronis. He built boats before I did. He built these old Greek boats, you know, funny looking boats, but they nice, they strong, just different.
What are the different sizes that you build the oyster skiffs in?
The oyster skiffs run, they're 20, 23, 25, and 28. Now, that's the basic size, but most of the oyster skiffs here are 23 foot. 25 foot's like this one, I don't know. There was one year I must have built, I don't know how many, about 3 or 4 years. This particular boat here just went like a mad rush. I built one of them and put it out on that water and looked like the whole world turned to people wanting them boats. I had a list, wrote it down, I put it on the side of my shop. Now, this is not the original shop I had. I started off with a little lean-to. Then I built me another little shop, and I tore that down and built this one. I had me a little list, and everybody come in, I said, put your name right on it. When I get to you, I'll build it. Some of the people dropped out. I've had 20, 25 names at one time.
What?
On this particular boat right here.
How big of a list ahead do you have right now?
Not now. I got one more after this one. I had this one till yesterday. And I usually take them one at a time now. I don't even want a list. I just want one at a time. And I'll come, they come here, and I don't take down no list no more. I just take the man when he comes and he gives me the money, I build him the boat. If he wants to wait, somebody else come along, I take the boat. If the man got the money, I build it. But for as me calling and all over the country anymore like I did then, I'd take their name and put their address or their phone number, I'd call them up. And some of them would be dropped out and, you know, that kind of stuff, and some of them wouldn't. But now I just take them when they come.
Some boat builders and other places I've talked to take cash deposits on their boats. Do you ever do that?
I do that. I take half the money when I start, well, enough to get the materials. And then I get the rest when I'm through. So I've never lost nothing from anybody else beating me since I've been building them. Whatever I lose it because I misfigured. And any other way than that, I've never had nobody to beat me out of nothing.
We're still talking.
And for his, because I could tell you, God sent me the best customers. I've never had a bad check that didn't cash. I've had some once or twice that come insufficient funds that they failed to put it there. But other than that, I've had checks for $2,400 from people out of Brownsville, Texas. Never seen them before. They never seen me. They sent me a check.
Wow.
Not nothing, no contract, just word man.
Yeah.
But you see how that comes about is by me treating people right, building the right boat. That boat will sell itself. Whatever I do will go right back to the general public. I don't have to advertise no paper, just like the man that came, I told him that. I don't talk to nobody for advertising. Talk to you about boats because I love them. I love to talk about them. But that man that came there, I told him, I said, hey, Furs, you, he started telling me, you know, do your business good. I said, I don't need it. If my boat can't sell another boat, then it ain't worth having. Chevrolet can't sell another Chevrolet, then it ain't worth having. Same thing. I was talked into using the paper one time over here in a local paper. I did it. They said, well, at least you could take it off your income tax. I said, well, that's an advantage. So I did that one time, and I said, well, that ain't no good. Income tax, it pays for roads, pays me to drive up and down. I got to pay it anyway. Everybody got to pay taxes. I'll just give it to them. So that's what I did. Ain't no use to advertising. At least I get good out of riding on the road. But no, advertisement's good. But I'm not in no competition with nobody. I wasn't in no competition with Bud. I wasn't in no competition with Mr. Lolly. If they come talk to me about Mr. Lolly, I said, listen to me, that's my friend. Mm-hmm. He gilled a good boat. He knows what his product's worth, and you ain't going to change it. And I'm not going to change. They come talk to me about Luther Hatfield. Mr. Luther Hatfield knows what his product's worth. He gets 500 of my boat's eight. His boat's worth 500, mine's worth eight. Mm-hmm. Sweetie, don't get no competition with nobody, not in this business.
Right.
You do the best you can to build the best you can. I don't take out nothing to make it cheaper. If I got the man start telling me to take out something, make it cheaper, then he don't need my boat. Because I'm the one riding on that boat. My name's riding on that boat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I do business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the man that comes, Corey sent me this money, his son walked right up there and gave me $1,000. There was not a receipt, nothing. I said, I'll give you a receipt. He said, Daddy, don't worry about it. If you want the rest, you can get that. The day that I was telling you about, the man came with a tape recorder to the insurance man. He said, he didn't believe me. He wouldn't trust me, wouldn't take my word.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what was good was Mr. I'll think of his name in a minute. The man there from Panacea, Medcalf, Herman Medcalf.
Mm-hmm.
I built him about 6 boats over the last few years. Never had a receipt, never had a contract or nothing. What was so good that day, he drove up on a Cadillac as long as you ever seen. Drove up right here, my old shed had just been put up and the trees down everywhere, and there sat the man. He walked up and he said, Bobby, said, when can you get on my boat? He done called me. I said, I get on it just as soon as I get this skiff out. He said, well, here's the check, $1,500. I said, you need a receipt? He said, I don't need no receipt from you. I said, in other words, you can take my word for it. He said, I'll take your word for it. He turned around, walked out in his Cadillac and got it left. And I said, now I'll tell you something. My name was McFarland. In Tallahassee. I said, that's the way I do my business. And I explained everything to him already about the boat. He explained to me. I explained everything about my insurance to that man. And what I say is the truth. I don't want nothing you got. If you don't think I'm speaking the truth, get gone.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want nothing you got.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I do business, the way most of the people in Franklin County does do business. It's getting where it's not too easy. With the bank stuff, they're going to
mm-hmm,
make it sure.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly out here, the tradition is your word is your bond. And if it ain't your bond, you're going to have to write a receipt to somebody if it don't work.
Yeah.
That's to get better. So that's the way my daddy done business. He taught me to be like that. And I've learned over the years that's the way to stay on top, to be fair, treat people right, build them what they want. And build it the best you can. Build it to suit yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that, if you want the best, then you'll build them the best.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way we do business. Most everybody around here, Hatfield, I mean, he had to have, most people there had to have a receipt from him because he messed up a few people.
Mm-hmm.
But first, Bud Seymour and Mr. Lolly and Charles Raphael and them Jones boys, Mr. Henry Flowers, their tradition is to treat people right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one tradition you don't vary from. You don't vary on that. There's no way to vary from that.
You're right.
You treat people right and you'll be treated right. You give a man a good measure, he'll be coming back to you wrapped up, shaken down, and rounded over, and pouring over. That's where it comes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way we do business around Franklin County.
Yep.
In East Point, and Apalachicola, and Carabel, and down 13 miles where I was born. I guess they still do down there. I don't know. But I left to go, and you're talking about going back to see where your roots come from. I took my 15-year-old daughter back down there, and I said, okay, I'll show you where Daddy was born, and your Uncle Kenneth, he was born there, where your granddaddy made a living for us. And well, drove up there, and he had a gate across, he couldn't get in. I said, but we can see. She said, Daddy, you lived here. you was born here? I said, don't make fun of it, girl. I carried her back to Leb Mollis. I lived there. I remember that good. I wouldn't live here. I said, didn't like it either. Couldn't understand why they moved me out of East Point. I didn't want to move. But my daddy had to make a living. He had to be where it was at, and he wasn't leaving this county. He knew what was best for us. So that's what we're doing. What did you do for a living? Well, I mean, for your mom and dad and all that.
Yeah, well, my mother grew up in Vermont, and my father grew up in Maine, a town where I grew up in.
Yeah, Maine, there's a lot of fishing there.
Boat building, too.
I got some letters from Maine out of that thing.
Oh, it's boat building is real popular up there.
But I didn't never write back to none of it. I reckon I should have, and just communicated with the people whether I've done any work or not. Might still do it. I got some letters in there from them and all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Well, my grandfather worked on the railroads most of his life, and my father got into that, and then he went to junior college for a couple of years and thought he was going to be a teacher, but he, what was happening? I guess the war got in the way of that, and he started keeping books for a man, and he worked for a big chain of drugstores up there, and that was the job that he had for till the end of his life. He worked there for about 35 years. Working in an office.
Yeah.
And my mother stayed home, looked after my brother and me.
Yeah, yeah, you remember them days, don't you? I tell you, they're good. Well, I wouldn't give nothing for my raising. I wouldn't, if anything would be changed, it, my mom and daddy would have took me to church and learned, and I would have known something about that. But he thought, and he was raised to be good and to understand, to treat people right. Don't cheat nobody out of nothing. Give a man a good day to work. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Hey, drinking was something that he was against. He smoked, but he taught us not to. I never did. Never have in my life. I've done all them things. I never done it. I picked it up. Still ain't done it. The only thing that I would have changed, I wouldn't change the house, wouldn't change the way we eat, the way we cook, the way we were raised, the way we slept, if I had to go back through it again. Now, he might would have, but that'd been up to him to do.
Sure.
I've done a little more for mine, you know, and we've changed over the years. Once I found the Lord, or the Lord found me, I wasn't ever, he wasn't lost, I was. So, over the years, as I've been raised here on this road, I've been here since I was 7 years old, and I'm 47 now, so I've been 40 years on this one road. I've been on this land 27 years. I've moved three times, and I've moved three times on this land. Started off with a 22-foot trailer. I built a little room on the thing, leaked like a sifter. And I was a pretty good, I built houses too. I built that home there.
Built
the home next door to my dad-in-law. Just built a home over, and I'm a house contractor too.
Oh yeah.
A licensed contractor, certified and all that. You know, I have a lot of homes. People come to me, just want me to build them. I don't take them all. I just take about one a year, something like that. My son-in-law, and I got my son into it, building houses. That's one of the traditions that I'm trying to get them, and my son-in-law is adopted to it, and he's taking it. My boy's doing it. He likes the seafood work. Fast money. Half a day, half a day to fish. He don't like this, which right now it takes a long time to get to the point where I can sit down and you like this him. I don't mind it, I love it. But the only thing I'd change, like I say, is that they would have been like I'm doing my kids today, teaching them about God and how this world was founded, was made, and how it all began. And teaching them about the future.
Yeah.
And how to live in this world today and be a part of what's going on, and that God is the creator and maker of all things. I can do nothing outside of him. He created the material for this boat. There's no way in this earth that I can see anything or touch anything that he ain't had his hand on. But he gave me dominion over it to replenish it, to take and do with it, and to make sure that I realize that he made first the material things that, for me to do it with. And that's what I teach my kids. And I've got three, and all of them is is my daughter played the piano in the church. My other daughter there, she sings with the sing-along tape like you got.
Yeah.
She sings to different places. She's 15. My boy plays music, but he's not in church right now. He's not where he goes, but he got other things. He's still trying to find his way like I did. I don't push him. I don't let him. He have his time. But he's still been taught. And for his changes, I've changed a lot. When I moved out of that house, I moved in a trailer house, or a Fleetwood trailer. That was the biggest change in my life. Scary. Getting in debt, $3,600, $50-something a month. Payment on a house. But then we worked through that. But whenever my life changed with the Lord, he impressed on us that house we got. I've always wanted a brick home, and all my life, me and my friend is dead and gone on, and now he's 37 years old when he died, played that music. We both wanted a brick home, something we never had. We both got them. He got his and lived in it before I did. I was building this home whenever he passed away. He's seen the frame of it, but never did see the actual home. But like I told, we talked about the changes and all this stuff and about what we wanted in life, you know. And he had his, and I've had mine. He was a Christian. He's got what he was looking for. I'm still looking for that. But I hope and pray that the values that we were taught and the things that would come up in our country was founded on principles. That's the thing I don't want to see change, the principles that we were founded on in this country. And over the years, I've seen a lot of that change. But morally speaking, materially speaking, I still hold on to it.
Yep.
And the morals that my daddy taught me, not knowing the biblical morals of it, I believe he knew, but not consciously. I believe he knew. Somewhere along the line, he'd been taught somewhere, and he didn't say that much about it. Somewhere back yonder, it come along with it. And that's really not, because he couldn't have instilled in all of us young'uns, which all of us has not taken it. Some of my brothers are alcoholics, and my sisters are good. They've been, they say he's done a better job of them than he did us boys. But they're still working in seafood, most of them, every one of them, but myself. And I didn't like it from the beginning. I was a black sheep to him in the bunch about that. He said, I've taught you all I know. You won't learn it. Now he tells me, he taught me all in. Like the boy, you know, like the old boys learned the music, playing the rock and roll, and had the preacher, you know, he had a preacher for a daddy, and he fought that rock and roll all of his life. But the old boy went off and made it big and come back to the hometown and went to play a concert there, and right on the front seat he was singing, the old preacher was sitting up there singing, sock it to him, son, sock it to him, I taught you everything you know. That's about the way my daddy is, but it's not beer. It can't be on nothing. So,
well, on that note, let's turn this off. We've been talking for a long time.
Okay.
This is the end of the second and final tape of the November 3rd, 1986 interview with boatbuilder Bobby Shiver of East Point, Florida. The interview was conducted in Shiver's boat shop on Old Ferry Road in East Point, and the interviewer was David Taylor. This interview was done in connection with the Maritime Heritage Survey Project. End of tape.